What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Johnny Mac here. Just wanted to give you a heads up that if you are looking for a community that is open to discussion as far as mentorship, conservation, the wild, becoming a better person, and all of that, there is a group for you on Facebook, and it is called Soul Seekers. Soul Seekers, we are all about making ourselves a better person. We're all about making sure hunting lasts for generations to come and encouraging people to get plugged in. Whether you are someone who has something to give or someone who needs to soak it up like a sponge, this is a community for you, and I strongly encourage you that if you're on Facebook to join Soul Seekers, and if you're not on Facebook, hop on there just for that group. It is only going to be as powerful as we all make it. And so just remember that life happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. And that you can't outgive good. You can't outgive good, people. I want you to understand that. And I want you to believe it. Because when we believe that and we lead with courage and we lead with intention, lives are changed. Lives are transformed. Just like on this podcast, Transformation Through Primal Adventure. Be blessed. Enjoy this episode. Talk soon. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I'm on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters, both new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by T&K Hunting Gear. If you haven't heard about T&K, then it's about time you do. I've been using T&K gear out in the field and on hunts and have fallen in love with their stuff. T&K is veteran-owned and 100% made in America using only American-made products. All their gear is covered under a lifetime warranty with no questions asked. If it breaks or fails, they will fix it or replace it for free. T&K is your resource for bino harnesses, bow slings, and a lot more amazing gear. For more information about T&K hunting gear, go to tnkhunting.com. Or search for them on Facebook and Instagram. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Freedom on and stay soulful. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by the Crazy Elk Company. Based out of the state of Washington with products made in America, they are providing solutions with gear to problems you didn't even know you had. Their tag wallet is one of those solutions, and I had the pleasure of using it on all of my hunts this last year, and it is now a mainstay in my kill kit. The Tag Wallet is a water-resistant zippered pouch that comes with its own reusable zip ties to safely and securely store your notch tag for quick and easy access. For more information, go to crazyelkcompany.com and use the code SOULFUL with a capital S to save 20% at checkout. Be blessed, everyone, and as always, stay soulful. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Chapter 5 of the Soulful Series with Tim Douglas of The Inspired Way. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, and I am just so thankful for all of you who are tuning into this series, tuning into this episode, and I just want to bless all of you and say thank you so much. I hope that you have received a ton over the last four chapters of this series and that you are open to receiving a whole lot more, because today's episode is all about call to action. We are not only calling ourselves to action, but we're also going to call you to action, because if you want to live a more fulfilling, more impactful, more vigorous life, then it's time to identify it and to get going. Life is now. Can't wait till tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. That's why they call today the present, because it's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from our Creator. And however you view, whether you are a believer in God or spirit or whatever, at the end of the day, we are here and we get to have free will over whatever we do and whatever we say and whatever we consume, whether it's information, knowledge, food, liquids. At the end of the day, we are in control of ourselves. And so if you want more control and you want to be somebody who has a clear mind and a clear heart with a clear soul, Today's your episode, call to action. Tim, thank you so much for joining for another episode, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me back. We thought it was going to be four, and then you messaged and said, hey, you want to do a fifth one? And it's like, yeah, let's do a fifth one, and let's throw some call to action out there.
I love it. Yep. It is the month of March was dedicated to the Soulful series. And since, even though this episode is being released on April 1st, I believe, is that April 1st is Thursday?
Yeah, it'd be April 1st. It's no joke, man.
Man, no, like this is no joke. We're not fooling you right now. This is the real deal. So we figured might as well cap off the month of March with just a great episode and a little call to action. So before we really dive in, Tim, how have you been, man? How's your heart? How's your soul?
Good. How's my soul? Great question, man. It is really good, and I'll save some of it for our discussion as we get into it. But it's really good. I just spent not this past weekend, but the weekend before. I spent 3 days, two nights in the wilderness, and wow, an amazing trip. It was really, really, really good for the soul, good for my, you know, it was a physical challenge. So there was some good body, you know, good for the body as well, some exercise, but, you know, had some spiritual time, but really just good for the soul, sitting by a river in the morning, contemplating, praying and thinking on some things. And then there were some other moments, which I'll save for later.
I love it. I love it. So I'm so sick of television and media. I feel like all the media I consume or have consumed over the years is just like so much propaganda, indoctrination, or hidden messages within what you're watching.
And well, so, it is called TV programming.
Ah, well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's programming.
For a reason.
And what do they always say? Tune in. Tune in to your programming. So if you never thought about media in that way, that's a little nugget for you to take home. So getting back to what we were just talking about is, I'm so tired. You know, my wife and I, we can sit down and chat all night long. Sometimes we just want to veg out and we want to just, you know, release and rest into the couch and melt into the couch as I rub my wife's feet, because I know how much that means to her. And I was like, babe, the one show that we've really enjoyed over the years has been Breaking Bad. And I go, we haven't watched that in years. I was like, let's go back and watch episode one and see if it intrigues us enough to actually want to rewatch it. So we're diving into this, and you know what Walter White, I think, is the guy's name in the character, and he's a chemistry teacher. And in his very first episode, he's talking about what is chemistry, and his student was like, Mr. White, I think it's like you know, the study of chemicals. And he was like, wrong, it is, you know. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Being a school teacher, I could totally like picture myself in that moment. And then he ended up going and talking about, you know, it's a study of matter and how matter's always moving. And and whether it's, you know, neurons, protons, electrons, all that stuff, whether it's chemically bonding to each other or bouncing off of each other, life is movement, life is vibration. There's always something. And so if you think about that and you apply this to the Soulful series, which I am doing right now because I'm super jacked about it, either we are getting better or we are getting worse, but either way, we're always going somewhere. Life is a matter of choice. We have this free will. We are either choosing good, bad, light, dark, to break the law, to follow the law. I mean, whatever it is, you get to choose what you want to eat, drink, what you don't want to eat and drink, what you put in your body, you know, all sorts of stuff. And so like, it's constant movement. And so when I've been diving into this study of like, we talked about, well, let me recap the previous four chapters. Chapter one was gratitude, counting your blessings, your foundation, your intention. Chapter two was rest and recovery, having that me time. We talked about breathing. We talked about the power of intention and talking about taking control of your mind, because we have free will. So you, and I don't use the word need very often, but you need to control your mind, not let your mind control you.
Yeah, it's good.
Chapter three, margin and slowing down. You know, going slow is smooth and smooth is fast. As you said, and is reiterated within like the Navy SEALs.
Yeah. You know?
And then chapter four was that silence and awareness of nature, creation, the noisy culture, the buzz of society, the chatter, and how when we immerse ourselves into solitude, we are able, and this is like the Buddhist monks, the Zen moment of like, they're able to eliminate everything else to get in alignment with what they want, with their intentions, with what they want with their creator, what they want with this world. They ground themselves. We talked about a tree producing fruit, but a tree also has to be nourished, and how do we nourish it? And so we're leading, all this culminates into this call to action and my idea of like energy, vibration, matter. And the saying is that everything matters. And yet, nothing matters.
But say, yet nothing absolutely matters.
In the end, it doesn't even matter. And so we talk about this concept of matter. And matter, it's always moving. Period. It's always moving. We are made of matter. Therefore, we are always moving. And we get to control how we move. That's the beauty of it. And so our call to action today is to identify ways to have a call to action for your soul. And you're listening to this podcast for a reason. Like, you've tuned in to this
episode.
Yeah,
especially if you're like, you've made it through all four and you're listening. Yeah, exactly.
You're here for a reason. You're at the finish line of the Soulful series.
Yeah.
And there's five things that I specifically want to talk about, but I want to lead into that knowing that you have a free will. No matter, life doesn't stop. Life continues on. Whether we die today or we die tomorrow or whatever, life is going to always continue. Matter always moves. Matter is always continuing on in some direction. I just got done talking about goal setting in my eighth grade physical education and health class, and that why are goals so important? And excuse my rambling here, but without a goal, we have no idea where to move. And if we're always meant to move, matter is always on the go. If we don't have a goal, we don't know which way we're going, and that can lead us to a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So, call to action. Tim, I can start this off real quick, but is there anything you want to add to that? Like any thoughts that got brought up within?
No, I would say just being intentional. I think that's another big part of is if you are feeling worn down, you feel like your thoughts are out of control, because we talked about the soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. And, if we find that, we have a thought and we quickly get emotional, or we can't take that thought captive before it allows our emotions to lead us versus serving us, then we really need to be super intentional about getting that under control. And if that's something that we want, wanting it isn't enough. It's really setting out what is our intent. What's our intentions for the day? Mm-hmm. What's our intentions for nourishing our soul or having a healthy soul? And so when we go through these five, I think these are a great five to be intentional about. And so that's the only thing I would add real quick before we dive in, is just be super intentional about the work that you do.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And here's a quote that I found on the internet, the interweb. As I Googled, actually, I don't even use Google anymore. I use DuckDuckGo. So all of you listeners, if you want to use DuckDuckGo, that's what I'm a fan of.
Here.
I DuckDuckGo'd call to action on your soul. And I went to images and I was like, what is out there? What have people put out there? And there's one quote that continues to pop up over and over, and it seems to be quoted by multiple different people. So I'm not going to say who it stems from. I'm just going to read it. Because we talked about intention. And it says, the more important a call of action is to your soul's evolution, the more resistance you will feel towards pursuing it. And I'm like, wow, that's powerful.
Say that again.
The more important the call of action is to your soul, the more resistance you're going to feel towards pursuing it.
Mom, yeah.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, that's fun.
I mean, that's powerful, you know? And yeah. So when you listen to this and you feel that twinge in your stomach or in your heart or in your head where it's like, man, that sounds like a great idea. I don't know if that's for me. That sounds good. That is instant resistance to you pursuing a goal. Lifting weights and exercise you only get gains off of it by going through the difficult work. So, yeah. Call to action number one for all you soulful people out there listening.
With your pens and paper out.
Write this down. Yeah, no doubt. Number one, do good. Do good. And what I mean by that is that you've heard me say, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, that you can't outgive good. There's no such thing as outgiving good. So when you put good out into the world, that is one of the best things that you can ever do. So how does that fulfill your soul? How does that nourish the mind, will, and emotions? Because giving feels good. It literally, when we give, it feels good. And with that, there's unlimited options of how we can give. Whether it is sharing our story and creating space for other people to share theirs, by being courageous so that other people feel the ability to be courageous also, to holding the door for somebody, smiling at somebody, complimenting somebody. I mean, doing good is unlimited in this world. This podcast is me doing good. Whether or not people, you know, look at it like that, like this is me sharing my goodwill with humanity. And so, number one, you want to nourish your soul, do good. And the more that you are going to have that call to action to do good in your soul, just remember that you're going to get more resistance, such as I saw on social media the other day that someone was like, I'm sick and tired of, you know, people being so selfish in this world that I hold a door open for them, and they're like, they don't even say thank you. And so, that goodness had the resistance of a lack of gratitude. And so it goes back to that chapter one and like, okay, we are grateful for all the things that we have. And we also get to do good, regardless of the reaction that we have to our action.
Yeah, no, man, I love that. And I love the fact that it's like, I think, you know, when we talk growth mindset versus fixed mindset, you know, Carol Dweck talked about in her book, Mindset, which is the new way of thinking of success. And so, sorry about that. I had a call coming in. I had to cut that. You know, it's basically, you know, not focused on the results, but focused on the actual, you know, process of what we're doing. And the results are going to be the results. But what we can control is our actions or our steps in the process, not necessarily the results of something.
Yeah.
Right. In Atomic Habits, James Clear talks about, you know, winners and losers both have goals. You know, just because Olympians, you know, all the Olympians that go, everybody had a goal, but only a few succeeded.
Right.
And so what are the actions that they took, you know, to get there, I think is one of the things. And then the other is really the thought that comes to mind is if I'm getting irritated because I'm doing something and someone's not acknowledging me for doing good, why am I doing it?
Mm-hmm.
asking the question of like, well, am I doing this for accolades? Am I doing this for a pat on the back? Am I doing this for some sort of return?
Yeah.
Or am I doing this because out of the goodness of my heart, I want to serve?
Yeah.
You know, I want to open the door for someone because it does me good to do it, yeah, not to receive the result. It does good for me to do it.
Yes. There's a couple things that you just brought up in my mind that I want to share. And I love that. Number one, this being the Soulful Hunter, and we talk about hunting, is you said, you know, we don't do things for the end result. Such as when I go hiking, I'm always like, okay, I'm going hiking to get to a lake, or I'm going hiking to get to this destination. This is why I love hunting more than just going hiking, is because it is the journey that is important, not the end destination. And yeah, so for me, that is like, that's always in the back of my head. The other thing that I want to add is this idea that we have to have acknowledgement in order to do good. And this is something that I am personally struggling mm-hmm. with in my own life, because I can give you listeners a specific example of, I used to work at REI, and at REI, we were supposed to sell memberships because it's a co-op, and the more members that we had, the better it was. And so we had this board with your name on it. And it's like, okay, this person sold this many memberships. And
oh, wow.
So when I was working there, granted, this was a part-time job for me. So I was a full-time teacher. I coached football, boys basketball, girls basketball, track, and I worked at REI. So I probably only put in like 20 hours a week, maybe 16 at REI. But when I was there, I worked. And I'm a very goal-oriented person. And so I was like, I don't care if I'm a part-time employee. Every year around Christmas, they have a holiday party, and then they give out an award for, like, they nominate and acknowledge the top workers. And I was like, dude, I'm getting this. And so all year long, I was like, just literally killing the game, selling memberships. My numbers were off the charts for the amount of hours I worked and all this stuff. And it came time for that end of the year party, and I was like, all right, baby, here we go. And my name was never called. And I was like, what is going on? And from that moment, I remember making a specific decision, being like, okay, they're not worth my effort. Mm. And whether that is right or wrong, because I'm not going to say it's right or wrong, because it also says in the Bible to not cast our pearls to swine. Mm-hmm. So here it is where I'm putting all this effort and energy and quote unquote me doing a good job at work,
yeah,
and not getting the results that I wanted. Now, was I still making an impact? Yes. Did I get the result that I wanted? No. Will I know the result that I gave to other people? No. And it's kind of like teaching. You don't always, there's a coach over here on the West Coast that says, you'll never know how good of a job you did as a coach until it comes time for people to get married and how many wedding invitations you get.
There you go.
And I was like, okay. So the point of all this is to do good. When you do good, like you said, don't be focused on the end result. You do good because it is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Not because you should do good. You do good because it is the right thing to do. Is it better? Just straight, flat question. Is it better to hold the door for somebody or let it slam in someone's face? I think inherently, the response is, let's just hold the door open. That's kind. And so doing good is kindness and putting it out into the world. When you remove your eyes off that end destination, you are 100% going to be more focused and fulfilled in your soul.
I love that. Before we move on to the next one, I just wanted to say, when I started to shift my perspective or my focus towards potentially what the other person could be going through, not knowing their situation, of course, but just knowing that potentially, maybe they had a rough day. Maybe there's a situation that just happened I have no clue on. And so for me to get upset or all butthurt because they didn't, you know, acknowledge me or whatever, or, and that's in any situation, you know, like when somebody does something, you know, clearly unintentionally, right? And we get all upset about it. I think for me, changing that perspective or having the perspective of like, hey, I don't know what their morning's been. I don't know what their day's been like. I don't know whatever, you know, situations in their life. That's, you know, unfortunately, they're outwardly, you know, putting it out on everyone else. And so I try to have some sort of grace in those moments. Doesn't always work for me, but I do practice that, you know, just trying to like, well, hey, have grace on there because I don't know where their situation is.
I love
that. And that in alone is doing good.
Yeah.
Right.
That, and it segues into our number two one really well, yeah. Because what you said is like you are having grace for other people and you mm-hmm. don't always have grace for other people. And number two is love yourself.
Yeah.
Because we are living in what's called the human experience, meaning that for us to actually have understanding of something, we have to experience it in order to then have knowledge and perspective on it. Yeah. The minute that we aren't experienced in anything is the minute we only have an opinion and a viewpoint, and those don't stand up to experiences. People with experiences will always trump people with opinions. So, yeah. Love yourself. Whether you work too much and you don't have enough time for you, or you make errors. We're also, the human experience is the fact that we are growing and learning through experiences. So when we have an experience that doesn't give us the consequence that we are looking for, we get to grow from that. And it doesn't mean we are shameful or being shamed or judged. We don't judge ourselves. We don't shame ourselves because of an experience. We can correct it. And we have the ability to acknowledge it for whether it's right or whether it's wrong, and then to shift our direction, our goal. And so if our goal is to take care of our soul, that mind, will, and emotions,
yeah,
then you have to love yourself through your mistakes that you make. Because if you don't love yourself, who will? Right? I mean,
yeah, totally.
Jump in.
Yeah. Well, and I think the problem is, you know, when I hear that, the thing that keeps coming up to mind is judgment, you know, and it's judging ourselves. And judgment and love cannot coexist.
Correct.
You know, for us to love ourselves, we have to stop judging ourselves or judging ourselves based on what maybe other people think of us, mm-hmm. what other people say about us, or whatever, we tend to judge our actions based off of others' opinions.
Right.
And so ridding ourselves of judgment, the antidote to doing that is love. Mm. Is loving, you know, the process, loving the situation that we're in. You know, James 1, 2 says, count it all joy, right? Knowing that the testing of the, you know, that these trials that you're going through, you know, so that situation that you're in, the circumstance that you're in, the storm that you're in, count it all joy, not judging yourself in the midst of it. You know, having joy is, you know, we're not bogged down by negative thoughts. Having joy in that process isn't us, you know, being emotional about it.
Right.
Right. It's us loving the situation, loving the opportunity to grow, loving the opportunity to learn, to experience. Yes. You talked about that earlier, just the experience of life, you know, to experience every aspect of it and be present for every single moment of it. And I think when we can love ourselves in the midst of that, that's when we can rid ourselves of some judgment. I had a conversation with my sister once, and I said, the reason why you're not XYZ is because you judge yourself. Mm. You know, and I read a book once, it was on judgment, and it talked about how we judge others based on how we judge ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're judging from the shadows. In other words, we don't want certain things to be seen in us. So therefore, we judge others. So I'm going to judge you so I can cast the light on you so your faults can be exposed, and it keeps mine in the shadows. Right.
And it goes to say what we've covered on our previous chapters is that our thoughts become our words and our words become our reality.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if you are thinking this way about yourself, you're then going to end up speaking it. And whether you're not speaking it about yourself, at the end of the day, your thoughts become your reality. And so you end up casting your judgments about your own self onto other people, which then yeah. isn't doing the number one call to action, which is do good. Right.
Right.
So
love that.
So it all ties itself back in into the same thing. And that's huge. Love yourself. At the end of the day, if you're not worth loving, then why should anyone else love you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say that again. If you're not worth loving yourself, then why should anyone else invest love into you? Take care of your own garden so that others can then reap the benefits of that garden. And it's so apropos that we could keep on this topic for so long, but I do want to move on to the third call to action. And by the way, these are not in any specific order, so take with them what you will. I do encourage, though, all of you to understand all five because they're all powerful in their own right. Separate
yeah.
and equal yeah. at the same time. Number three is take ownership. Oh, go ahead, Tim. Yeah.
I just wanted to, before we move to the next one, I just wanted to say, like, it reminded me the love thing, and this will sound kind of weird potentially, but the verse, Song of Solomon.
You're already judging yourself yeah. right there.
I listen to that. I know. It sounds weird. But I say the Song of Solomon because it is the book, the love book, right, mm-hmm. In the Bible. Song of Solomon 2:15 says in the New Living, it says, catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. And so I say that just because it's the little things in our life that we judge ourselves for. It's the little things in our life. You know, it's not seeing the good, right, in our life either. You know, it's like looking for the little good, I would say, to combat the little foxes, the little things that stumble us, the little things that trip us up, that keep us from loving, that keeps us from loving ourselves or keep us from loving others.
Yeah, that's so true. I like to read the King James Version, and so I just wanted to see what it said in King James. It says, take us, yeah. the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I love that because at the end of the day, you know, I'm so in, everything has meaning. There's no coincidences, is how I live my life. And it's so interesting that, like, you know, in mainstream media, for example, this goes back to what we kind of entered the episode as, is you have like liberal left-leaning news stations, and then you have Fox News. It's the conservative voice. And I find myself disagreeing with Fox News all the time. And here it is. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the yeah. vines. Here's a glass of water to nourish your soul, but there's a little pee in it. Ah, a little yeah. pee. It doesn't matter. It's still water. Well, I'm not going to be drinking a glass of water with pee in it. And so it's yeah. the same thing. It's like, you know, what you have, the blessings in which you have, the skills in which you have, the things in which you love are tender, yeah. protect them, take care of them, water them, nourish them, and keep the foxes away. So it's funny that it's called Fox News. I just wanted to throw that one out there because it goes back to the whole programming and tuning in and all that. So
yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Well, the other thing you talked about was tending your field. You know, or tending your garden. When you say garden, I think of field. And it reminds me of Proverbs 24:27. And I'll read the King James for you. It says, prepare thy work. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field. And afterwards, build thine house. And I'll read a verse that's, you put it in more layman's terms, because that one's, I love King James, but man, does these and thous and those and whatevers trip me up. So anyway, the New Living is just do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house, or, you know, put your outdoor work in order to get your fields ready. And I think where we're going with this is we need to prepare ourselves to get ourselves ready. And one of those ways of doing that is through our nutrition or through our diet.
Yep. And we're going to be getting into that here in just a second. Abraham Lincoln, one of the coolest presidents that I would believe most would agree with. He said, if you have 3 hours to sharpen an axe and if you have 3 hours to cut down a tree, take the first two to sharpen it, and then and then one to cut it down. So I love that, because you got to prepare for yourself. You got to take care of yourself in order to then do your job.
Absolutely.
And I love that. Okay, number three of the call to action is taking ownership and acknowledging your shortcomings and your faults, and take responsibility for you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things, I see this all the time in teaching, I tell kids, and this is kind of on topic, but it's kind of off, but I'll be like, hey, great job doing whatever. And they're like, yeah, I know. I'm like, you did a good job. Yeah, I know. That's not what we're talking about. we're not talking about taking responsibility and ownership of like, yeah, I'm the best, I'm the coolest.
Yeah, I've got this.
We're talking about take responsibility for your own actions, your own words, your own thoughts. I catch myself all the time with my kids. And my kids, they're amazing children, and yet they're children. And so therefore they do things that are not appropriate or are not conducive to a smooth environment. And so I'll say, doggone it, Carter, you're making me angry. Right there, I am not taking responsibility. Because at what point is this other person, this other soul, actually causing me to get angry? No. The minute that I say, you're causing me to get angry, or you're causing me to feel this way, or you're causing me to do this, is the minute that we aren't taking ownership over our own life, and we're not taking control of our own emotions, our own mind, our own heart, our own actions, our own anything. Because at the end of the day, we're the only one that that causes us to do, say, think, feel, or anything. We're the only ones. We have free will.
Yeah.
So take responsibility. And it starts with your words. What you think is what you speak. What you speak is your reality. And if you're speaking that, then once again, you're already not owning your life. You're not owning what you say. You're not owning your actions. It's a blame game. Oh, I'm angry because so-and-so. I'm angry because of this. I get this all the time in the education world. I'm angry because of President Trump. I'm angry because of Donald Trump. And people like cast their anger and their hatred and their feelings on one man, one person. And it's like, well, where's the ownership? Where are you taking responsibility for your own life? Because at the end of the day, no one's coming into your home right now and holding you down and forcing you to do something, you know, or to say something, or no one's pointing a gun at your head.
Thankfully.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in a lot of countries, that does happen. And so thankfully we is maybe as jacked up as we feel our country is at times. We don't have those things happening, which is definitely a blessing. You know, one of the things that comes to mind is Jocko Willink and Leif Babin's book, Extreme Ownership. And if you guys have not read that, you definitely want to get your hands on that. It's by two Navy SEAL commanders who basically share leadership lessons of the Navy SEALs. And the title says it all: extreme ownership. Everything is your fault. Everything is your problem. Everything. So take ownership of it. Take responsibility. And there's a situation that happens in the book where he talks about the whole team gets called in. Something happened. I think it was green on blue fire, a fight, you know, where they shot on the enemy, or excuse me, not the enemy, the good guys, some of the allies, and they got called in, and they asked, who's at fault? And Jocko, the leader, says, it was my fault, you know? And at the end of the day, we all could communicate better. If something didn't go the right way, you know, take ownership for like, well, crap, could I have communicated better? Yes, I could have. Could I have done this better? Yes. Should I have done that? Yes, I should have. You know, so take ownership and see the responsibility that is yours. My mentor always says that maturity does not come with rank, does not come with position. It does not come with age. It comes from, maturity comes from the acceptance of responsibility. And so when we accept the responsibility of a situation that is ours, we take ownership of that, that is when we mature in that area of our life. There's many areas of our life. And so just because you're immature in one area doesn't mean you're completely immature. You know, mm-hmm. It's just in that area of your life, you're not taking ownership. You're not taking responsibility for that. And so therefore, you're immature in that area. And for me, when I hear that, it's like, crap, that sounds pretty harsh. But really, the way I view that, again, is, again, just a different perspective. It just means that I'm not ready to step into that yet. I still have room to grow. Mm-hmm. And I need to focus on the things that help me grow in that, to help me accept the responsibility and move forward.
Correct. I love that. And for all of you married men out there or people who are in relationships, a lot of the times the blame gets put on the other person, whether mm-hmm. it's like sex life or whether it's just
money,
finances or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, they're not fulfilling me. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So you're putting your fulfillment onto somebody else rather than you fulfilling your own life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, baby. Because when we love ourselves and we fulfill ourselves, yeah, we then are better. Our garden then feeds everyone else. Guys, I mean, we're talking in circles here because it all makes sense logically. There's an order and a progression to it. I love that, Tim. That extreme ownership, acknowledging it. And by the way, when I'm talking on this podcast or when Tim's sharing, and I don't want to speak for you, Tim, so correct me I'm not going to speak for you. How about that? I'm sharing this with my own struggles. Like, I know that there's areas that I get to improve on because I get to be a better person. And if we don't ever acknowledge that, then how are we ever going to make progress?
Yeah. You know, I had a situation just last night that did not go well, a conversation with my wife. And we've been down that road before, and it did not go well before. I did not learn or accept the responsibility of that situation. So last night, same thing happens. Immediately, ownership, taking ownership for myself. Now, were there some things that I saw as the leader, you know, what were there some things that I saw in her that I could shed some light on in a loving way, right? But still not diminish the ownership that I'm taking. You know, I take full responsibility and full ownership for what I did. However, hey, here's some blind spots that I've noticed as well, so that we both can improve, that we both can grow and continue to move forward. And that's just like if you have a team, you know, and you're the leader, you have to take ownership for what happened. You can't be shifting blame. Mm-hmm. But then you also have to point out some of the blind spots that you see within a team, because you know, if we're going down that path, it's like, you should, why not have seen it sooner? You know, that's what Jocko would have said. You know, I was like, well, you should have seen it sooner. You know, it's your fault. You didn't see that. You should have seen that. You should have known your team. And you're like, well, I can't know everything, really. You know, so, well, now that you do know it, you have a responsibility to address that. And so it's just taking that ownership and that responsibility to address it, as hard as it may be.
I love that. There's this concept of called game theory. And this addresses the whole, I couldn't see everything. And you're like, well, whose fault is that? Because in theory, what game theory is that it is a play of all the possible moves and counter moves to those moves.
Yeah.
And this is what the book, The Art of War by Sun Tzu.
Yeah. The
book Art of War is all about game theory. Meaning that, like, if you only look for the first initial reaction from everything, then that's all you're ever going to be getting. But there's so much more out there that if you aren't taking ownership and working through the different things, then what is the end result and the end goal? And so that is something to think about. Game theory, super, super interesting and powerful. Okay, so number four for call to action. You ready, ladies and gentlemen? Dun, dun, dun. And before I share number four, let me just read the quote again. The more important a call to action is to your soul, the more resistance you're going to feel towards pursuing it. Ready? Here we go. Diet. You are what you eat. Therefore, if you are eating junk, you're going to feel like junk. You're feeding your soul with junk. If you're eating crap, you're going to feel like crap, and you're feeding your soul with crap. So at the end of the day, are you consuming and putting things into your body that are going to bring life or bring death? Are you eating? I always talk to my students when I teach nutrition, eating the colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And they're like, yeah, man, Skittles, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, yeah, very funny. In reality, are you, you know, most processed foods, I would say a majority, I don't have an exact percentage, I'd almost guess to say 100% of processed foods fall within the colors of white and brown. And then if it's not white or brown, it has food coloring added to it so that it separates itself to look like something different. Meaning, if you're eating the colors of the rainbow, that you're eating the outside of the grocery store, where your fruits and vegetables are, where your dairy, where your produce, where your meats, where you're all that, and you're staying off the inside shelves. Because at the end of the day, we are only as good as the fuel that we put into ourselves. And going back to number two, where it says love yourself through the food you put into your body, through the fuel that you're feeding yourself.
Yeah.
Are you a standard gasoline vehicle, or are you a premium vehicle? And do you treat yourself like a premium vehicle?
That's good.
And so, I mean, this topic is, nutrition is like one of the hardest things that people deal with day in and day out. That's why there's so many fad diets and all that. But going back to that quote, the more important a call of action is to your soul, the more resistance you feel towards pursuing it.
Yeah, that is so true. I think the resistance is sometimes, it costs more. Yes and no. I mean, my wife and I have played with different things over the course of the last year or so. We've gone where pretty much all plant-based. Then we went to paleo. We've tried a bunch of different stuff. And so, yes, it can be, but then there's a lot that we have found that you can do on a very decent budget, you know, not having to go way overkill. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge or struggle that most people would say, right?
Yeah.
And there's a purpose for, I think, processed food to be so cheap. There's a purpose behind that. So, the thing that comes to mind is what you're talking about, you know, why is this important? When we talk soul, and the soul, as we talked about, is the mind. You know, our thoughts, you know, are the brain fog, the not being able to think clearly, all these different things. It has been found, you know, neuroscientists have actually discovered, or even, you know, that there's that gut brain access, right? Mm-hmm. So what we eat actually affects our thoughts, actually affects the way we think. And so making sure that we have good nutrition inside of our body actually helps our brain, actually helps our thought process, which is our, comes from the mind, which is an aspect of our soul. Same is true with our emotions, you know, in eating processes, you know, so what are we eating to fulfill an emotion or to curb an emotion or whatever. Again, we are masking an issue that is with the soul by, you know, eating bonbons or whatever.
You are so you're hitting it on the head right there. And I'm guilty of it. I was raised, I'm an emotional eater. I stuff my emotions in my mouth with food that I eat, because in my youth and my confusing household that I was raised in, like, that was the only thing that comforted me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would eat my emotions. And, you know, if you look at what the actual sugar does to your body versus like heroin, like the exact same effects, the cravings, the addiction. You ever tried to just cut out all sugar? I'm not saying processed foods or all this. Just cut out anything that actually has sugar in it.
Yeah.
It is so hard.
I'll give you, I was listening to a podcast with Tom Bilyeu, and he had a neuroscientist on there, and he said that they actually are hired by these food companies to come in and tell them like what creates habit in the brain, mm-hmm. like, or not habit, excuse me, what creates, what is that called? Cravings, you know,
like cause and effect.
So like getting, addiction, that's it. Like what causes addiction, you know, and sugar mm-hmm. is one of those big things. And so they create their foods based on what's happening in the neuroscience and the you know, physiology of the brain mm-hmm. to actually create this response to actually go back and have more. It's a big thing. And so I think when we are emotional and then we eat those things, it's having a counter effect on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And man, there's so many different directions to go on here, and I don't want to go too deep into nutrition because this is like its whole separate topic.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But with that, there's also our body has a natural response to certain foods. For example, you'll hear the term used, comfort food.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is it comforting? Okay, there's something about that food that comforted you. So if our body has, like, if we feel better after eating this food, then what? How do we feel after eating this type of food? And if you ever seen the movie Super Size Me, talking about fast food nutrition, he goes through a series of depression after eating certain foods. And so you want to take care of your soul, people. You have a little call to action. Challenge yourself. It's time to start eating right. And I am having a major gut check on myself right now as I think about what I'm feeding my children and myself as my youngest or my oldest boy. Yeah, we're talking. See, my kid, he's coming in here talking to me about food right now.
Yeah.
Carter, you're awesome. I'm recording. When we're done, I'll get you some food. Whew, man. Now I'm putting on the spot right here because I'm not going to edit that out, and this is all part of the podcast here.
That's good.
Okay, let's transition off of diet and get into our last call to action, which if you're listening to this podcast, you might have already found. And if you haven't found already, then this is time. The last call to action is purpose and passion. Mm. And to that, when you find your purpose and when you find your passion, you fulfill and nourish your soul. And that's where the transforming lives through primal adventure, I found my passion in hunting. And through hunting, being a conduit for me having a better life, it's transformed me through the act of hunting. So regardless of whether or not people are pro-hunting, indifferent towards hunting, or anti-hunting, that as an action was a conduit for me to then transform and become a better person. So what is your passion? What is your purpose? And if you don't know, it's time. The call to action, it's time. And this is a thing, is that people will be like, well, I'm too busy to do that. Well, I'm too busy to do this. Because the more that we have that call to action towards our soul, the more resistance we're going to feel. So at the end of the day, how important are you to yourself? Because apparently you're not that important to yourself if you're saying you're too busy to take care of yourself. You're too busy to identify your own purpose. You're too busy to identify your own passion. And if you've listened to this podcast over and over, you've heard me talk about it's all about identifying what you want. Because when we identify what we want, we also identify what we don't want. And if we don't want that, then why do we keep going back to it? So purpose and passion. And Tim, jump in where you see fit.
Yeah, man, I love that. And that's one of the things that I love to do and help people find, you know, their purpose in their life, you know, as far as helping them really discover or uncover that stuff, you know. But I will say, if you're too busy, you might want to go back and listen to chapter 3. Because I have a client to where we're, you know, working on some stuff. And I actually said, hey, look, we're going to press pause on this. And we're going to get some clarity. We're going to work on clarity. Clarity on yourself, clarity on social, which means how you want people to interact with you in the world, the skills that you need to become that person, and then what's your service to the world?
Yeah.
You know, and that is that purpose. What's my purpose in this world? What's my service to this world?
Absolutely.
And so if you're too busy, you might want to slow down and create some margin in your day. Go listen to chapter 3 of this, and then after that, we can sit down and chat. But I think that's the key there, is just slowing down. Sometimes it's hard to find our purpose, it's hard to find our passions when we're so freaking busy.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to wrap this up, just because normally we keep this about a half hour, and we've gone a little over 50 minutes on this because it's just so powerful and we're so passionate about it. I want all of you to understand this, and this is how I believe and how I view the world. Number one, I believe in a creator, and we're made in his image. And if we're made in his image, then we are also creators ourselves. And if we are creators ourselves, that means everyone we interact with on a daily basis is also a creator. And I believe my creator to be great. And if my creator is great and we're made in his image, then that means we're also great. And so when we acknowledge ourselves and each other for the greatness that we have, it sets a foundation for everything else to just be that much better. Because at the end of the day, we're not warring against other people. We're warring against the good and evil, the light and the dark, the good way and the bad way. And so acknowledging the greatness that people have is a great way to start each conversation, each moment. You know, Tim, I acknowledge the greatness that I see. The greatness I see in you, Tim, is you're a tender soul. You're a kind-hearted person. You speak with passion. You lead with integrity. You live this life of love. And that's the greatness I see in you. And all of a sudden, it's like that acknowledgement, that love that we crave is touched. And then it opens a door for everything else to fall into place. And so I just want to wrap this podcast up and say, if you guys are looking to get any type of personal coaching, reach out to Tim at The Inspired Way. He is an amazing human and is more than willing to journey with you. Tim, is there anything you want to share real quick?
Yeah, I'll just share this. You know, when I was in the wilderness a couple weeks ago or a couple weekends ago, one of the things that, you know, just as we're talking through some of this, you know, good and love and ownership and diet and purpose, diet wasn't dialed in back on the mountains, by the way. As you know, when you're out in the wilderness, you pack lightly, but you pack a lot of, seems like junk sometimes. But anyway, that's probably the most junk I've had in a long time. But anyway, where I was going with that is just walking along this ridge, looking off to my right and to my left, I, you know, could see mountains for as far as I could see, you know, which one way was Tennessee, the other way was North Carolina. And I just was overwhelmed, you know, with just this awe of goodness that I saw. You know, it's like you were talking about, we are created in God's image. We're in the Bible, in Genesis, it says he created the heavens and the earth. He created these things and he said it was good.
Yes.
And as I'm walking along, I'm looking over and I'm like, wow, this is good.
This is good.
You know, I'm like, we're walking in his goodness. Mm-hmm. We're walking in the midst of his goodness. And so that is so nourishing and replenishing to my soul. Love came rushing in. Love for the wilderness. Love for my creator. Love for just the experience, right? And then the other is just ownership came up. You know, there's some areas that, because I was kind of meditating and kind of thinking, we had this moment of solitude where we were walking kind of by ourselves. There was a group of 11 of us out there, but we were taking some space. And it was just reflection and reflecting on the ownership, the things that I need to take in and you know, and own when I got back to real life. I was living in I think I had a hangover, not from alcohol or anything, but just hangover from being in the woods for 3 days, dude. It was so amazing. You get back to this life of other stuff and it's just seems meaningless, right?
Yeah. However, it's not. And we get to make each day, each moment, however we want. And if we want to acknowledge life for the way it is and the beauty in which it holds, then we get to. And if we want to go down a darker path, we get to do that also. Everything is a choice. We have free will, and that is a part of nourishing our own soul. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the series. Chapter 5 has been phenomenal, and I hope that you have just gained the world out of all of this. We're going to be continuing on with soulful topics throughout really the remaining of the year as much as possible. And if you are interested in sharing your story and your journey, get a hold of Tim, get a hold of myself. I'd love to hear how the Soulful Series has impacted your life, your soul, your ways of being. Be blessed, everybody. Be encouraged. Life happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. And as always, freedom on and stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful. We'll be right back.